This is the E of Real Estate. My name is René Stevens. I'm your host today. And our guest is Wietske Evelyns. After a training as an industrial designer, a master's degree from the Technical University in Delft, her career started as a partner in a design agency. But her love for teaching led her to a transfer to the University of Twente, where she became teacher and lecturer, helping workers and students to work in a smarter way. Wietske changed work and became for about 5 years a technical economist at TNO. And TNO is a Dutch institute, research institute for quality of life. Further, she continued to become a trainer and management consultant for office innovation. She calls herself a work designer and work system expert. She analyzes and synthesizes work solutions. She is also a coach, trainer, and a writer, and we come back to that later on. Some themes are human-centered design, office innovation, and new ways of working. Wietske has been working as an independent professional for about 20 years now in various offices locations, including at home, she told me. And she enjoys further her family, garden, fitness, and Zen meditations. Now she has a sabbatical year to learn filmmaking and is writing a book titled Designing Your Work. Well, Wietske, that's a very impressive CV that touches a lot of points that the whole discovery journey of the E of real estate community is figuring out and collecting. And thank you very much that you are willing to share your experience and your insights of these many, many years of working life. Today, I want to explore your perspective about how ambitions of a organization meet the desires and the wishes of the employees and students of university campuses, and how a learning environment, and I define that as the physical, the digital, and the social environment, so three parts, can be used as a tool to enhance not only the goals that a university has, so the organizational goals, but also the user experience of students and employee, the staff. Industrial designers, as you are, in my opinion, are per definition focused on the interface and the interaction that people have with products and with environments. So you are really the right person to talk to at this moment. Part of your work is to assist individuals and organizations to adapt to 21st century working competences and skills. And you made yourself a shift from products and places towards people. Somewhere on your website, I read attention for soft factors create hard benefits like sustainable profit. Well, that's a very teasing statement. Could you elaborate about that a little bit?
Yeah, it's funny. It comes from meetings with the Telewerk Forum. That was an organization that just focused on making telework on a distance more popular. And I think it was one insurance company that had a project with this nice sentence. And it's indeed, it's very teasing. And they also showed research that proved that it really was true. So I have been looking for it. I want to find it back, but it was convincing for me how they showed their project and that it really worked this way. So just put a little bit more attention to the human factor and to the long-term vision of what you really want to realize, and the results will be so much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we especially, I'm interested, maybe you can say something about that, what you remember from that research paper, that how top management can be involved in all of this. So,
yes, good question. Yes, what you often see is that a top manager that has is open for personal, that you need people that have had some kind of crisis in their lives. They are much more open for the human factor because they see that having a good life is just the basis for doing anything. And it's interesting at this moment that I saw on Twitter a quote that top managers in the USA are now more open for the long-term profits, and that is what you need to get them with you.
Yeah, that's what I also heard from other people, that it is really very important to get commitment from the top level management when you want something in a working environment that will improve well-being and productivity for people. And especially when you make the change to flexible working, as we call it in the Netherlands, or boundless working, as you called it.
Yes.
And actually, that is already there. You have you can work place, time, and device independent, so that gives extra requirements for the normal places where you gather. Because you can work anywhere, at home, in public spaces, in the train, in coffee shops, everywhere. So. Yeah. Can you share something from your experience in this field with us?
Yes, how to incorporate the working situations outside of the office. That is what you mean, I think?
Yeah. So because of the 21st working competences and skills and the whole possibilities of the digital world, that we can work time, place, and device independent. That has two consequences. One is for the work environment itself, and the other is on the people, because they have to adjust to different competences.
Yes, of course. Yes. The book that I'm writing, maybe that's a good way to explain. I will start with yesterday, and then go to today, and then go to tomorrow. And yesterday for me is about the 20th century way of working. And to make it simple, it's very much on production, on a production line. So the way of thinking of improvement of productivity in the 20th century is very much on more efficiency and short-term profit. But the 21st century, the simple handwork has been automated, so lots of that work has just disappeared, and a new type of work has come up, and that is the working with the head, with the brain, or the mental work, and the mindset hasn't changed yet. So we tried to organize the work for the 20th century in a 20th century way. So we didn't adapt to the new work that we are doing yet. And there are some focuses in the way people look at work environments at this moment. And that is very much focusing on one single place for one person. That is what we come from. So there is attention for the workplace in the office, but not yet for, or hardly for, the workplace outside of the office. So there are discussions about, we are not responsible for that. People are free to do what they want, and that will be all right. That will be good enough. But I don't agree with that. I think we can, firms have to do more, but not the same thing as they did before. So something new can be done, and should be done, but we have to develop that because it's something new. So I think we can create new structures in order to help the flexible workers to become more healthy and more productive. And it's not something that you do top down from the organizational level. I think the best way, and in fact the only way, is to support people in understanding what they can do themselves in an effective and realistic way.
So when I understand you correct, you're saying we had and still have a lot of emphasis on the workspace itself.
Yes.
Going from cellular offices to open space and dedicated space to, depending on which task you are doing. And then saying, okay, when you're outside the office, that is actually not our responsibility. You can work everywhere, but take care of yourself.
Yes.
But I understand the main point you are making is that we have to, or the companies or the organizations have to help their employees get different working styles, different working structures, different
yes.
behavior. And then they have that, they can work also in other places outside the main office.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. So you can develop new competencies that enable you to make the right choices that will make you more effective and more productive and more healthy.
Okay.
And we don't do that yet. And what we say, working flexible is very nice, very good, you're free. But we left something behind, and that is that we were used to apply ergonomic principles, and we don't do that anymore. Because we connect that idea to the physical workplace and not to the mental workplace. But I think that we can apply these principles and that we should apply these principles for the mental workplace as well, and also the digital workplace.
Mm-hmm. What is your experience that in your client base, are there already companies that are an organization that are aware that there is a very strong interconnection between the physical part, so the real estate department and the facility management department, plus the ICT department? Because nowadays we cannot work without computers, without digital workplace. But the thing that we are now also addressing, luckily, is that in fact human resource department should also be very, very much involved. Actually, maybe they should take the lead. What's your opinion about that?
And I see that also in journals, that there are more connections now between the different professionals. Yes, and that's very good. I sometimes still miss the vision. So the long-term vision, and also the I miss the top management that they are just losing people. Mm-hmm. Now we see that there is more the problem of getting people at all is becoming bigger. And I think that this will go on, and that could be a turning point, that the top managers realize themselves, we have lost people forever, and that's no good. Because we need the people to grow and to help the economy.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's too late, very often.
Yeah.
If you have a burnout, it takes a lot of time to come back. And you won't get the people back that got the burnout.
Mm-hmm. So in what sense could we do in the physical work environment and learning environment to avoid that? What could be done better?
Yeah, I think there are, you need a number of steps. We have the habit to start with the physical workplace. That's okay for me, mm-hmm. but make it functional. And make it functional by just thinking about what do people really do there? What are their tasks? Can they do these tasks within this environment, Do they have the ability to use the environment? So do they understand what workplace to use for what task? You can create a possibility that it works. And the next step is to help the people use the environment in the way they need. I see that as a next step. So first you have to create an environment that's great, has the right structure. And then you have to help the people to create these structures themselves connected to the things they do. And then they develop their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And what about the digital workplace? I think it is a condition. You should focus on both at the same time, because otherwise you will miss the main thing.
Yeah. As an industrial designer, we learned that you have curves in the introduction of new technology. And you have that also in new environments. So the first flexible workplace, that they became more popular, and we were not very critical on the value. So we thought, yes, they will improve everything. But later you say, discover that these flexible workplaces are not good for everything. And I see that in many ways that people think I should go to this flexible workplace and, for instance, write a mail to your colleague to places further, and then you wait for getting an email back. And I know even managers that say you should not leave your workplace because then you are less productive.
Mm.
But in practice, I see that people walking to their colleague is much more effective because you understand each other much better. So people must learn when to use technology and when to do it the old-fashioned way, let's say, like that. But it's not worse. It can be better to do it without technology.
And can we learn something from students, because they work everywhere. They're not. They have to study at home, study in the library, being in the lecture hall, maybe even in the canteen. They study or have discussions. Can we can the people that have only offices learn something from students, or can we give them some insights?
Yeah, that's well possible. But they feel more free to move. Yeah, I think it's very important, and because in the flexible office you have the handkerchief that people put their something on a chair just to know, to be sure that you will have that workplace.
Yeah,
that's not very flexible, and then you have more or less the traditional way of working. But then you do not have the profits of the meeting other colleagues, mm-hmm. because you sometimes sit besides Pete, and the other day you sit besides Case. So it's not that dynamic if you just work in a traditional way on a flexible workplace.
Yeah, I hear you saying that for people who are used to a certain way of working, have difficulties to adjust to another way of working. Of course, change is always difficult for everybody. But saying that students are already very flexible in the way how they study, where they study, when they study. So over time, the problem will be solved just by the new generation starts working in offices?
I see that young people have quite a lot of problems in the workplace because they miss the knowledge on what I say in 21st century terms is the economic adaptation of the economic principles. So They get pain in the back. They sit too long on the same chair. So they make all the mistakes that we have made before again.
Mm.
It's a pity. So they have to do, yeah.
I can imagine that as a designer and seeing the issue, the challenge from a holistic perspective, that, for instance, combining the physical and the digital workplace, that something like a knowledge base can be there, or tips, or nowadays you have some apps that after so many minutes, you get a push that, okay, now have a coffee break or do something else, mm-hmm. or have a walk. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So by looking at it from a designer's perspective, design thinking, isn't there, are there new possibilities, according to you, when you combine those two fields?
Yes, of course, of course. And what I like very much is co-creation. So not with new software that you have to go in the software on your own. The most effective way to create your own personal solutions is that you can talk about it with others using, of course, knowledge that is there. So it can be a combination that you do a course and that there is some checklists or whatever just to check it, mm-hmm. but also talk about it, because the variety in environments is so huge. People must understand the meaning of these environments and how they can use it. And we hardly do that.
Yeah. So actually it's a lifelong learning after you leave a university.
Yes, I think
so. Not only in your profession, but also in the way you work and the adaptation to new ways of working and new technology.
Yes, and I think that there will be new professions and coming up. And then you have to go through the whole way of working that you have developed again, because things might be different.
And how do you approach that? Because one of your disciplines is working styles, so behavior of people. As you know, we are all different. Although we say, okay, that's the group of millennials and that is another group. But I think that's too simple way of approaching it.
Yes.
What is your expertise in that? And your how do you use that in your daily work?
The generations, you mean?
Yes.
Just
how do you approach that? You said already that people work in a different way. They have different tasks. So you cannot give one size fits all solution, not in the physical world, right. Also not in the digital world.
Also
not in the social world.
I prefer to start on a personal level. So the last years I have mostly been coaching people also on complex professions and tasks. And it was quite a job to help people to do it better. But then you had a structural solution, and that was the good thing.
So I hear you saying that the you get the most profit out of it when you approach it from a human resource perspective and not from the physical part or the digital part. So when you train people in working in a certain way, they can adapt themselves there when necessary.
Yes, but when you say a human resource approach, is again the mindset from that department is very much top down, and I think it's more effective to work bottom up. So you put people together. For instance, if you want to do it realistic, so that it won't cost more money than necessary, get a view on what people are really doing. So for instance, students, what type of studying are these students doing? Are they doing projects? Are they doing experiments? Are they reading books, listening to teachers on the screen? So that makes a big difference. And a teaching process is a number of steps. So how do you help these students through these steps in the most effective way, so that they really can orientate on the subject and finally show that they understand what should be done and how it works for them. So do a project or show your ideal work style, and then you get a personal solution that fits the environment of this person, fits the, his or her tasks, and also the possibilities in using all kinds of facilities and computers and software, etc.
Yeah, I agree that when it's about machines, we take much more care in general than when it's about people. For some reason, we think, oh, people will adjust anyway. And but the burnout rates are increasing, sick leave is increasing. So something is not okay in one of these three or all three environments, the physical, the digital, and the social environment.
Yes.
What's your take on that? You agree?
It's very nice that you put your finger on this point, that it's so easy from the perspective of technology to ask people to adapt to technology. And that's what we still do very, very much. But it should be the other way around. And that's also the basic principle of ergonomic design of work systems. This standard says that you should start with the work. So what as a factory, what do you really produce? What's your mission, etc.? What should people do? And then you look at what do the people have to learn and what should be the technology. So in fact, the technology should be the last step, but we are used to make it the first step. And to by thinking, if we have the technology, we will have profits, etc. But yeah, that is a very short, it's not that easy.
Yeah, I saw some nice words on your website that you had, they went about knowledge productivity. But in the same means, you said something about the techno optimism and techno stress.
So yes, yes.
About now.
Yes. Yes. We come from the 20th century, and in that period, we were working all day in the same place, doing the same task, very efficiently. We have had lots of profits. Very nice, Peter Drucker. You have seen maybe the quote. In that age, we have had improved the productivity 50 times. And he says we should do the same in the 21st century, but for knowledge work. And I think I can imagine that we can do it, but we have to do it then. We have to create solutions for knowledge work, and then we might have a 50 time higher productivity.
Yeah. Well, there we also have to bridge with the knowledge worker. That is mainly the things that is happening in offices with universities, our main focus. So maybe we can learn something from universities for offices, or vice versa. We can. Do you have some tips for us, or some viewpoints on that?
Yes, of course. I think that talking is so much is so valuable. Just to sit on a table with other people, the professors, the facility managers, and to bridge the gap. And I think that bridging the gap is very much on finding the good words for what happens in universities. What are people doing? What is the passion of the professors? What do they want their students to do? How do they learn? Things like that. And how can the facilities facilitate this process, and how can you help people to use the possibilities that are offered? I mean, the possibilities are huge. We can do work in so many ways with so many different facilities, but the promise that you can use the possibility is not enough for people to use these possibilities. People need to have the experience with, okay, if I do this, that works for me. But for another person, it will work in another way. So there must be a connection between these different fields, these different mindsets, you can say. Mm-hmm. And you can do that, for instance, in creating a project or creating a program, but not by saying, yes, we have very nice facilities, for instance, the bikes, that you have movement on your chair. I mean, I miss the connection between what businesses want from their people and putting all kinds of dynamic facilities in offices. I just miss the connection. People, because the boss wants it, we are sitting on the chair and we are going to read a book. Sometimes it works, but very often people do their tasks on this bike when it does not work. So people must learn what facilities are connected to what tasks they do.
So I hear you saying that there's actually a huge need for interdisciplinary approach. That
yes. Is,
not only the digital world, so the ICT people and the facilities management department and the real estate, but most and for all the users themselves. That should
yes.
be
yes.
And,
yes.
And how could you organize something like that? And again, who should take the initiative?
I see that's the nice thing about you connecting with me again, is that you are now doing a project in the area of teaching, because I think that teaching is essential in this area. So that you not only in universities have programs for 21st century skills, which is far away from facility use, but that you also need programs or lessons in the area of using facilities, so that you connect it in the teaching itself.
Yeah.
And you create a nice workplace for where things can happen, that you guide the people there in doing their own thing.
Okay. Oh, that's a nice idea. So in the introduction week, when new students come, that could be have a place there or several times a year, maybe even better than that, because in the
first week
they get so much new information, probably they have already an overload.
Yeah. And there is one more thing, and that is the work design thing that is also on my site. And that is that organizing physical work is very much on making big tasks, small tasks. So one puts the screw in the hole and the other one puts the bolt on the screw, etc. So you make one big task into many small tasks. I think we have to go the other way around. By making all these small tasks, we are one big task again, whatever possible. So when doing knowledge work, you want to have an overview of what you're doing. You need to have a context to understand what people want from you. So we have to reconnect small tasks into one big task, and people want an overview on the societal level. Even they want to understand what their business really wants, how they fit into the process of the management. They want to fit in the group. What are we doing as a group? They want to, and within that framework, you can do your own thing in your own way. So I will work at home tomorrow, and the day after I will come to the office for our meetings. So that's more or less the idea about work styles, that you have your own work style within the work style of the team, within the work style of the organization, and within the movements within the society.
Yes, and that's how you connect everything, and then you can work together.
And yes.
That indeed makes that the whole is more than the sum of the parts, because this is a holistic approach, just like the holistic medicines. They also understand that it's not just give some medicines or some surgery, but maybe this mental or something else that you leave out of the quotation. And that
yes.
Can be that you just solving the symptoms, but not the cause. And I think that's the same in our the environment that we are talking about, the physical, digital, social environment of universities. And you have to see it as an integrated system, as a organic system, maybe even. And you cannot put it like a machine in parts and then say, okay, you are responsible for that part and don't bother about the other parts, just your part. So at least you should have something in place that you think about the process before that you start and the thing that's is going to work with your product or your service, what you're delivering. Making sure that the whole system works together, and the way you are explaining it could be a very nice way. But again, what I said earlier, hearing that, I would say there is a big task for the human resource department, maybe inspired by the top management. But yeah, it is about how people work. I think it is more their responsibility. What do you think?
Yes, but my impression is that they are very much inspired by the managers. And that the connection between UR management and management is much stronger than with the people. Hmm. So that they their culture is very much top down and also data driven. But of course they should organize the teaching, so the competency development of the people, and they can do much more in that area.
Indeed. That's,
yes, and they should.
Yeah, I think it's more than just discussing the output of people and how they perform, but you should also take in consideration the environment in which they are creating that output.
Yes.
And I think, not the only thing, that's what my own observation, that in many organizations that can be improved.
Yes, I agree. Finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they can be some kind of connecting point between the workers and the management in that aspect, but I think it's a new task for them that it's not common yet.
Yeah, and then again, taking back from the beginning of this interview, that how can we involve the top level management, because this is a very important thing when you look at the budget of an organization, that on average housing cost, including facilities and ICT, is about roughly 10%. But personnel cost is about 70-80%.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah.
And I think it's obvious where the emphasis should lie. How can you improve 70-80% of your budget in being more productive? And not only that, but also have a better well-being and a better health. Because in the long run, it's also profitable for the organization. And then coming back to that statement that you should focus more on the soft things to create the benefits and maybe sustainable profit in the long run.
Yeah. Yes, I left the idea that there is one solution for the future. So I see that there are, in fact, two types of tasks within organizations. Some are more repetitive and you can do them efficiently. So you need some kind of basis in an organization that you are sure that you will earn your money and that you can pay the people, of course. Mm-hmm. But what I see as the main possibility is that you recognize the knowledge tasks, and that's pretty much, and that you create a structure that isn't there yet. And that you do that in talks. So that could be part of the learning process that we just discussed, that you have, and I have created some kind of elements that symbolize the different levels and the tasks. And in this book, I will also use some kind of picture for all the facilities around it. So I visualized more or less the technology and the people and their work, and that people are just sitting together and talk about what is the essence, what we are doing. So you can do that individually. You can say, okay, what's the main thing I do? And that is very often, there is a quite a bit of knowledge work in that. But for instance, that you do not have a coordinator of a project team that says, I have made a plan and you are going to do that and you are going to that. But that this project coordinator says, okay, let's sit together. What do you think is the main thing that we are wanting to achieve? So that you make it, create it together. So that there is a common basis under a project team about what we are doing together. And then you have a shift from vertical organization of work to horizontal organization of work. So I think that we have to, we will probably go on with doing some work in a vertical way, but we can create another layer that is horizontally organized. So an horizontal structure within organizations for knowledge tasks, for brain tasks, for mental tasks. And then you get something new that can make work so much more effective, valuable, and long-term durable and sustainable.
Yeah, so I hear you talking about empowering people in making having a bigger influence on how they do their tasks.
Yes.
In a certain way, can and also can decide where and when and how they are doing their task.
Yes.
So actually, you are promoting people working in an office, but also students, become more the architect of their own work or their own study,
yes.
Including the way how they do it, but also where they do it. So and which conditions they need for that.
Yes, of course. Yes.
And what I understood is that your book is about this, how to become the architect of your own work design.
Yes. But I focus on the knowledge work. So I will start the book with explaining the 21st century way of working. And then I will say something about today, about the stress that is too high and that we do have to do something more fundamental than what we are doing now. And then I will give the concept of how you can apply these economic principles on mental work and how this works differently from what we are used to.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. I would ask you a complete different question now.
Yes.
You, as we started with in your CV, you have worked in a lot of different places and different functions. Could you say what was an aha moment in that long journey you did already?
Okay. Aha.
An aha moment, and what for significant lessons did you learn from that?
There are many aha moments, I think. Yes, again and again, you connect to a specific context of work. And yeah, there is always some kind of tunnel vision on every place where you go to. And that problem only becomes bigger, I think, that you easily create your own tunnel vision on whatever. So I have started, but as an economic designer, and I really like to go to the workplace. So I have been in the railway bed with the man going up ladders 5.5 meter high and climbing up as well. But there was a new world there. What people do when a train is coming and you haven't put your letter out of the rails. So, yeah, people in offices have no idea of the unsafe situation yet that you can become part of when you're doing that type of work.
Yeah. Actually, mainly also in the long run. So in short term, you will notice, okay, it's dangerous. But sitting in the wrong position, watching too long your screen or whatever, in the long run, there's a lot of side effects, negative side effects.
Yes, that's true.
Sick leave and stress.
And what I told you yesterday, so many people are just going on with what they have been doing for a long time. And that's also something that surprises me. But in a way, still in Holland, we are, too rich, or there's not so much urgency to really do things a different way. But I see that things are moving, but it's very slow. And yeah, I think there could be some turbulent years coming up.
Yeah, probably the direct connection between stress levels is not made with the environment. And then I mean also the social environment. So your team members, your team leader, your management, besides that, can I find a place in time? And is the software working? So all that together is something new that we give it 15 years back, 20 years back, we were not used to this. So in 20 years, the whole environment shifted completely.
Yes, that's right.
But we didn't train people, as you said.
Yes.
Adapting.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I agree. Yeah. So you have the training in what is the software that you've got and can you make it work? But that is not the training. How can I do my work in a better way with these equipment? That's and it's often too little, the training that people get, because if you have one afternoon an introduction of a new technique, you haven't it's not yet part of your work, of your daily work. And the demands from managers of people are very high. So they think, yes, you have something, you can do it better. But first people must learn to really adapt the new technology in order to make it work. And people do not get really much time for that.
So I hope that your book will bring some new insights for that.
Onze verbinding is wat minder goed, hè?
Yes, it's some hanging, but it's okay. It comes back. No problem.
Okay.
So I said I hope that your book that is in progress will bring some new insights in top-level management and all the people involved in those three environments, the HR department, the ICT department, and the facilities and real estate departments, to understand that it is much more going on, that you have to look at the complete system. So that you made very clear. It's not just the separate parts, but you have to see it as a complete, organic, integrated system. And that's what you bring onto the table as an economic designer. You have to think about interfaces. So when you design a product, how are people going to use it? How will it affect their life and their work or whatever? So
maybe that is one important insight that in my career, you asked me for that, but now I have one. As a designer, I focused on interaction. What you just say right now. But the interaction is what is between the product and the person. So that is what is in between. And when I became a technical university teacher in mechanical engineering, there was another approach. And the approach was, if we want to improve the production, we have to design both the production and the people, their tasks, and the work. So we are not designing what is in between the people and the technology. No, we design it all. And that's a different approach. It's much a much bigger thing.
Yeah, actually, this it's more a business process redesign that you're talking about.
Yes. But what we also did was, so I was in a department of ergonomic design within mechanical engineering. And what we, for instance, did was the logistics, so a workshop where they had all the machines and so on. So we were looking at the machines, but it started with what are these people doing here? So they were there to learn to work with the machines and to know what was possible technically. Mechatronics, all kinds of things. So you just facilitate the learning process of the people that are coming there. That's the reason why we have this workshop there. And then we look at what type of workers, what type of students, what type of presentations shall be given here. And after that, you reorganize the logistics and the sequence of the machines, etc. So you just turn it all around. You don't start with the technology, but you start with the task and then the people, and then you adapt the technology to the whole process that you want.
What is a daily routine you need to you use to be very successful in your life and in your business? Would you like to share something with us? What do you do daily?
Oh, yes. The question, yes. Now, one thing is Tai Chi, just for sleeping. It's very nice. I can sleep. So all the stress that might be in my body will vanish. Mm-hmm. It's very nice. So I'm going to do the whole course again. And as an independent work style, work system expert, yes, you're sometimes working alone, but I have organized my own colleagues here in the neighborhood. That's very nice. And I, when I have to do something complicated, I do that preferably in the morning, because I'm more fresh in the morning. And I take lots of breaks. So, and that is always fruitful. I have the best ideas when I'm free. So I need to be free very often. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Witske, for sharing all this powerful and insights you have. And sure, there are many listeners who maybe get an idea. I will leave your website link underneath the video later on. And of course, we will update them when your book is ready. When is it planned?
Yes.
Is it coming to the market?
No, my family and so on. So I work on it when I have,
Okay, so not a real deadline, just a natural flow.
Natural flow, and I hope to finish my book this year.
Okay.
Fine. In Dutch for the first version, yes.
So again, thank you very much for your time, and we keep in touch.
Thank you very much for the invitation, and it was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.